Hey guys, it's Elliot, and I just finished Sword of the Necromancer. So before we get started, I really want to apologize for the dog in the background. I have a feeling he's going to run around like a crazy dog. That's what he kind of does, especially when I open up the hallway for him to kind of run up and down. Because I don't want to crate him, because it's not really quite time for him to go into the crate. Because I've been trying to keep Duncan on a really tight schedule in the morning of, like, this is when we eat, and this is when we make poo-poos, and this is when we play around, and then this is when Dad leaves to go to the gym. So if I'm not going to the gym today because it's my off day, I'm going to lift at the house a little bit, but I'm going to crate him right before so it keeps him on a schedule. And I find that it's really helped with him where he's just kind of like, once he's on that schedule, he's like, he does really good. And on the weekends, he's kind of a crazy dog because like we're home or Tess and I are home at weird hours. Anyway, you're probably going to hear him running back and forth because I can see him getting up right now. So I'm going to try to limit that, but you know. It's part of having a dog now, I've been told. It's dog life. Dog life. Hashtag dog life. Anyway, so I just finished Sword of the Necromancer. This was a game that I got on the Switch. I kickstarted the game well over a year ago. Now, here he comes. He's chasing after the cat. There he is. Anyway, so I got the game. I kickstarted the game, which was, this is actually the first game I ever kickstarted. So I was a little nervous because I've heard all the horror stories of like people not getting games or games being like absolutely garbage when they actually do get them. And there was a little bit of that with this where the game was supposed to be out in the fall and then it ended up coming out in like mid to late January. And even for me, because I got it on the Switch, I didn't get my code for like 3 or 4 days because they had a problem with the eShop. So I didn't even remember that I had actually kickstarted the game until like in December when I got an email telling me the game was going to like release. Oh, there he is. The cat is like in a place that Duncan cannot get to, and it bothers Duncan because Duncan just wants to play because he's about 4 months old, so everything is a play toy to him, and the cat is absolutely like a moving play thing, but the cat like kind of only wants to play occasionally. And mostly he just wants to, like, kill Duncan. This game is a rogue-like game. And again, if you're not familiar with that, that's just basically a dungeon crawl-style game that has procedurally generated levels. So every time you play, it's a different thing. It's one of those games where, in theory, you can play in one sitting and beat it. You can literally just start and just play until you beat it. Like Hades, that's not really true, right? If you're familiar with the genre, there's a lot of big names. This is a genre game that I really was not into until the last year and a half to 2 years, where I've really started to really get into this genre. I really like the concept of, like, you know, a completely procedurally generated kind of game. I played a lot of Diablo, and I guess Diablo, especially Diablo 3, is a lot like that. You might be familiar with some of the roguelike games that are really kind of popular. There's Spelunky, FTL, which is one that I was familiar with, which I didn't even realize was a roguelike game until about a year after. There's Dead Cells, Enter the Gungeon, Moonlighter, Children of Morta, Hades. Those last three, Moonlighter, Children of Morta, and Hades, are probably the three that I like the most, or I find that I really have enjoyed a whole lot. So when we're talking about gameplay for this game, it's a pretty standard roguelike. You kind of know what you're getting into. It's exactly like that. The look of the game is kind of a pixelated dungeon crawler. It looks very similar to Moonlighter. It looks a little similar to Children of Morta, more like Moonlighter, I think, in the style, where I think Moonlighter is a more refined kind of look, where Children of Morta is a little rougher kind of look. But I actually like Children of Morta, I think, a little more, mostly because of the multiplayer, but that's completely different. There's a little bit of like crafting that goes along with it, whereas you're crawling through the dungeon, you gain items that you can craft. It's kind of weird because some items you keep when you die and some items you don't. In the beginning of the game, when it was first released, you could carry 4 items. And technically, you could only carry 3 because one of them had to be the Sword of the Necromancer that you had to carry. And the sword allows you, when you slay any kind of monster, to literally revive them, and they become a monster that fights with you. And they have health, and they can level up themselves, too. And the way it used to be is, when you died, you lost all those items except for the sword. Really, only being able to carry three items is, like, pretty harsh. I thought it actually was pretty detrimental, where I was like, the whole point of the game is to kind of look for stuff, and I can't carry that much anyway. So they actually kind of patched in a separate bag that you can carry, where you can carry an additional four items, which I thought was great. And those four items that are in the bag, you keep throughout your life. So once you die, or throughout the gameplay, so once you die, they stay in your bag. So if you keep the monster in your bag, he will still be there. If you keep the monster on your, like, toolbar, he goes away if you die. The problem with that is that the bag, you have to, like, literally push a button and go to that menu to get to it. So it's a little back and forth that's kind of annoying. It's not just, like, an extra thing. So it was nice. It was a nice addition, but it was still kind of, like, clunky overall. Overall, the gameplay is very solid in the sense that it looks and feels and runs pretty smoothly. I didn't really notice a lot of, like, frame rate issues. There's a little bit of camera angles that are a little weird, especially when going from, like, room to room. It feels a little weird, kind of like old school Zelda games. But I think that's just, like, the intention of, like, the creator of how he wanted the style to kind of look. So it's not really, like, a bad thing. It's just kind of, like, an odd aesthetic choice, but I didn't really have a problem with it. The building part, the crafting part of the game, I have literally not touched because it has no interest in it to me at all. It's very basic, bare bones. The downside of this game is that it is a very bare bones style kind of game. There's nothing crazy about this game. The mechanic that is supposed to stand out is the whole necromancer sword thing, where once you slay something, you can make it a monster. The problem is, like, there's not a lot of monsters to choose from, and the cool monsters are later in the levels, as you, like, progress further and further in. And so, like, by the time you get to the cool ones that you kind of want, they're kind of worthless because you haven't leveled them up from playing. So you'd have to kind of, like, grab one, put it in your bag, die, and then re-level it up with you. Also, the monsters, their AI is, like, kind of terrible. They all do different styles of game. So you can, like, get, like, a monster that shoots, like, beams out. You can get a monster that has a sword and shield. You can get a monster that shoots a whip or shoots arrows or shoots slimes out. They're all kinds of different ones. But, like, once you get those basic ones down, it's just, like, a blue one or a green one. So it shoots fire damage or acid damage. There's not a lot of difference there. So there's not a lot of monsters to pick from. The really cool monsters you can't get until later on, so they're kind of worthless unless you're, like, re-leveling through, and in which case I think that kind of defeats the purpose. I feel like a lot of roguelikes are moving towards, like, this game is not meant to be in one setting, which is fine that you're not supposed to beat it in one sitting. Hades is like that, and I absolutely love Hades. I think Hades is the pinnacle of where I like roguelikes to go moving forward, and I know there's some friends of mine that don't feel that way, but to me, that's what I've really enjoyed. So the gameplay here is really pretty normal. The new mechanic of the necromancer sword doesn't add as much to it as I wanted it to. Also, you're forced to carry it, so it's a pretty weak weapon to carry around with you anyway. You're better off crafting something or getting lucky and finding a different weapon, which I absolutely did every single time. Like I said, the controls are fine. Combat is fine. I thought it was pretty fluid. I didn't think that it was, like, off by anything. And I played it on the Switch, which I always assume is going to be, like, the lesser of all of the choices to pick, where the frame rates are going to be worse, the controllers are going to be worse. I just assume that with Switch ports, unless it's literally built for the Switch specifically. And I don't think this was the case here, because I think this is a really small team. But it was fine. I thought it was absolutely fine. I didn't think the combat was that bad at all. The way you gain monsters is cool, but it does need to be refined, like I've said, somehow. I don't feel like there's enough bag space. Even when they added the new bags, it's still, like, a clunky system to go back and forth. I have to pause the menu and go to that, you know, and switch it in and out. The other thing I think that this game lacks is story. And not in the sense that it doesn't have enough story. It actually has way too much story. I really do enjoy Hades, and I enjoy Hades for the gameplay as well as the story that it's kind of telling, which I think is one of those nice things that that roguelike game had done. I feel like this game kind of oversaturates it. There's so much story, and I don't care about it at all. You get the very bare bones of it in the beginning, where there's this princess girl who dies, and you are kind of in charge of trying to revive her with this sword for whatever reason. You probably are in love with her, it seems. And so as you kind of proceed through the levels, you kind of get backstory as to, like, how they met and, like, how they hated each other in the beginning. She was just a sword for hire, and how she slowly was like, I'm in love with her. And now, like, it's fine. It's very generic. The other problem here, too, that I found is the different look of the game. The gameplay itself has one aesthetic look. Like I said, it looks a lot like Moonlighter, so I actually really like that. But then it will have these, like, hardcore anime cutscenes that are, like, very well polished and very well done, but they're few and far in between. And then it has these weird, like, drawing things where you get a picture of these two characters doing something at a campfire, walking through the woods, you know, getting this close to kissing, whatever it happens to be. And it's an odd drawing where it's kind of like half in the style of the pixelated art of the gameplay, and then half in the style of the anime. So it's like the in-between. And I don't think it looks very good. And you get more of that than anything else, story-wise. And so you get this weird picture background, and then you get this, like, long line of dialogue. And the dialogue is read out loud, but it's so monotonous. It's so, like, basic. It's a story that I could have created, so I feel like it's a mediocre story. And like I said, it's so much in between that I just do not care. So I thought the game kind of, like, that was a downside to the game, where I'm sure they kind of viewed it as, like, a good feature to it, where I was actually, it takes away from it. Especially because I feel like Hades, again, does such a good job of adding story to it. Or something like Children of Morta, I think, does a really good job with the story as well, too, where it's kind of a slow leaking style game, where Children of Morta is designed to not beat in one setting. It's you literally cannot do that because you're leveling up characters. You are leveling up in this game, and you can choose to level up and keep the levels as you play, which makes the game a little easier, or you can choose to, like, level up, and when you die, your levels go back to zero. I think this game would be really, really hard to beat without leveling myself up personally, so I have chosen to keep them on after playing it for a little while. Same with some of the items. You can choose to keep all of your items. You can choose to keep the items just in the bag. So I've chosen to keep the items because I want to level up my monster to be as good as he can be, because that just kind of interests me. So when we're talking about replayability, it's fine to mediocre, I guess. The levels, like I said, they all look the same, but they're just kind of different shades of color. Same with the villains. Once you see all, like, I don't know, 12 or 15 bad guys that you can revive, and you can revive all of the bad guys except for the boss monsters. Each floor has a boss, and they're kind of unique. And they are, the monsters on the end levels have all been very unique so far to me. I haven't beat it yet. I know I'm very close because I kind of cheated and looked online to see how close. I'm actually, like, a level away. I just, you know, haven't quite gotten there yet. Overall, I really like the customizing of your experience. You can make it a lot harder or a lot easier if you want. So I thought that was really nice. So I tried it hard for a little while, and then I guess kind of got bored with it. So I did make it easier, and it did progress me gameplay-wise and story-wise, which I didn't really care about. And it did make it a little easier. It did make it a little more enjoyable. I don't like that they're the three different, like, styles of gameplay, or not gameplay. I don't like the three different looks of the game. The anime cutscenes, which look fantastic. The weird dialogue, which I think is just kind of like, eh. And it's also, like, a little overacted. Overall, I did enjoy the game. I did have fun with it. I've probably spent 4 or 5 hours on the game before I just kind of got a little too bored with it. I don't think this game would take very long for someone with a better skill set than myself to beat it. So I don't think this game is a very long game. I think I paid $13 for it altogether with the Kickstarter. So I don't feel like I got taken advantage of price-wise. I also don't know if I really feel like I got my money's worth out of the experience. Like, I don't feel like I had a $13 experience that I'm willing to go back for. I think if you're going to buy a roguelike game, I would do a little bit of research as to, like, the aesthetic that appeals to you. Like I said, I really enjoy Hades. I really enjoy Children of Morta. I really enjoy Moonlighter. I really enjoy FTL. So there are certain ones that I really enjoy. I've never played Dead Cells, which I know a lot of people say is really good. I've never played the Spelunkies, which I've heard is really good. Enter the Gungeon, I've only played on the Switch. I own it on PC. I've played on the Switch, and it's okay. My friend Jeff, I know, is a huge fan of it. I think you just kind of find the style that you like and you just kind of gravitate towards this. I feel like this is a style that I would have liked. I feel like the game is just like, it's just not quite there. I think this would be a great game to pick up for like $5. I think you'd have $5 worth of fun and not feel like you got ripped off. You know, if it's like one of those 90% off sales on the eShop where it's like $250 or something like that, I would absolutely jump on that. I don't think I would recommend buying this game at like the $10 or $15 price tag that it's at right now. It's just not quite there yet. Overall, it's fun, but just like kind of fun. And again, I got maybe 4 or 5 hours of gameplay out of it before I just got bored and wanted to move on. So that's what I literally have been doing. So anyway, thank you for listening. As always, it's kind of a shorter episode today. I feel weird talking about games that I haven't beat completely yet because that's just, I'm like, oh, I don't really know what it's like, but I feel like I really do. Because again, I got really far and then I died and I got really actually a little butthurt about it. And I was like, fine, I don't need to play this anymore. I stopped. So I ended up playing like really hardcore for the first, like, I don't know, week of the game where I was playing a couple times before I would leave for work every day. And then I stopped for like 2 weeks. And then the patch came out where they added a bunch of stuff and I replayed it again for another like week or so. And I was like, oh, this is a little more of an enjoyable experience, but still not like enough there. Anyway, I think I'm going to be back next week with another episode. I'm going to have Scott on, I think. We're going to probably end up talking about WandaVision, which will have just ended. Literally, if you're listening to this the day this comes out, it will have ended tomorrow. So I'm real excited about that to see his horrible thoughts on it because his opinion is absolutely terrible on about just about everything, I think. Anyway, thanks for listening. I will be back probably in a week. Take it easy.